Our second scripture reading today comes from James chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. Now listen, you rich people, weep and wail because of the misery that is coming on you. Your wealth has rotted, and moths have eaten your clothes. Your gold and silver are corroded. Their corrosion will testify against you and eat your flesh like fire. You have hoarded wealth in the last days. Look, the wages you failed to pay the workers who mowed your fields are crying out against you. The cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord Almighty. You have lived on earth in luxury and self-indulgence. You have fattened yourselves in the days of slaughter. You have condemned and murdered the innocent one who was not opposing you.
Thank you, Brett. Nice cheery passage, right? No, it's a good passage. It's an important passage. They sometimes tell you not to preach about money. Well, when you're going through a book and you get to the next passage, that's what it's on. So that's what we're going to dive into. But no, it's something for us seriously to definitely consider, especially in our nation where we live and where we are so blessed with wealth. And so it's a passage for us to strongly consider the warnings that are in it and to look at it. So we will get into that. But last week, as we've been going through James, last week we were looking about not boasting about tomorrow, the idea of saying, today or tomorrow we'll go to this city, we'll do this or that, and just really trusting in your own plans and all those types of things. And really being reminded of that important question of, asking, well, what is the Lord's will? I'm going to leave everything in his hands and put it in the Lord's will. So last week, just a few thoughts that we looked at was one, just very simply, there is only one in charge. There's one in charge, and it is not you. Just being reminded that God is sovereign. He's sovereign over each day. He's sovereign over our future. And so for us to make plans without him in mind, without his sovereignty in mind, is really not a good choice to be making. So it's being reminded that his plans are always what will happen. So there's one in charge, and it is not you. So don't usurp his authority and his commands in your life. And then so with that, the other idea was, what are your plans? Thinking through those plans, but James just reminded us that our life is but a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. So just realizing how easily our plans can fall awry. They can come apart very quickly, especially when we're believing in a false sovereignty of ourselves. That's something we can't fall into. So again, let us be asking that question, what are the Lord's plans? Humble yourself before him and his plans for your life and his will. If it is the Lord's will, we will do this or that. Always having that mindset of, if it's the Lord's will, I'm going to go do this thing. And if it's not, I'm going to adjust. I'm going to back off of that. So really questioning in your heart, is it your heart's desire to do his will? And then with that as well, the last thought from last week was just boast only in him. Boast only in God and who he is and his sovereignty and his plans, his purposes for your life. Boast in those things. Don't boast in what plans you have or who you are, but most importantly in who he is. And boast that he cares for you, he loves you, he has a good purpose and plan for your life. And also boast in him that others might know God and see his work and will in your life, that they would look at your life and see how you live according to his will, and they would want to have that same relationship, that same love in their life as well, and turn their lives over to the Lord's will. So this week, we're being humble before God. It continues to be a theme as we go through James. And James here is issuing a warning to the rich and wealthy who have, in many ways, abused their position, and they've used their standing in this world for their own gain at the expense and serious harm of others. So within this passage, which again is there's a lot of just warnings in there, a lot of things there. But underneath that, as we've been going through these last chapters, we see that humility continues to be the call. Be humble before God, devoting everything to him. So as we jump into that, will you pray with me? Father, as we look at this passage today, Lord, open our hearts and our eyes to see just what you'd have us to learn from it. Lord, it's a challenging set of verses here. And as we recognize in our lives, we are blessed with wealth in our nation. And we really, truly need to rightly consider how we are using our wealth for your glory and for your honor. So just challenge us as we look at this passage and convict us. And just reveal to us our hearts, that our hearts would be fully devoted to you and to your glory. Pray us in Christ's name. Amen. So as we start to look at this passage, one thing about James, obviously James was the half-brother of Jesus, and he would have been around Jesus' teaching a lot. So There's really a lot of echoes of Jesus' teaching within the book of James, and this passage is really not much different. And so Jesus, he had a lot to say about money. If you read through the Gospels, how you use your wealth, how people are using wealth, come up a lot. And a lot of the parables, by default, relate to money Jesus is telling those stories. And so Jesus often spoke of the dangers of wealth. And before we jump further into this passage, let's look at just some of those passages that that James, I think, is really thinking through his mind and saying, oh, yeah, I remember Jesus taught a lot about these things. Let's go to some of those passages that Jesus, where he taught on wealth and the use of it and also the dangers of it. So in Luke chapter 6, 24 to 28, there's a few warnings there that are given. And it says, woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. And woe to you when all men speak well of you, for that is how their fathers treated the false prophets. And you just think about the woes that are there, kind of the dangers there. That really is similar to the tone of the passage that James wrote in chapter 5. You know, just kind of woe to you, be careful when you have all this wealth, all these riches. It makes you comfortable in this world. And you start trusting in those things. Woe to you, be very careful. And so Jesus has that same that same thought pattern. You know, be very careful. Do not put your trust in worldly things. You know, woe to the rich who have made their wealth their God and have put their faith in it. And in their own pride, they believe that they are in control because of that wealth. So Jesus had some very firm words there, some woes, just as James is also very strongly cautioning those that are rich. Also in Matthew 6:19, from the Sermon on the Mount, which, again, many passages from the Sermon on the Mount are reflected in the book of James. But there, Jesus says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And so Jesus really gets to the center of it. You know, what is in your heart? What are you cherishing in your heart? You know, is it money? Is it things that, you know, will rust and destroy? Is that what you've treasured? Have you pursued those things with all your heart? Or instead, have you pursued heavenly treasure? You know, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be. You know, what have you treasured in this life? What is in your heart? And James, throughout the whole book, he's really been asking that question. Is your faith in God genuine? He really challenges us to genuine faith. And here, this is no different. Is your faith in God genuine, or does your heart reveal faith in something else? Is your faith in your wealth, in your money, in your riches? And Jesus, he goes on in this passage really to paint a further picture of that. In the following verses, he says, "No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." So Jesus, again, very clearly directing the heart, that you can't have a divided heart. You can't have serve money and love it so much and also love God, that the love of money becomes an idol in your life. And there's no room for idolatry in your heart in your relationship with God. So is your faith genuine? Is your heart fully committed to Christ and trusting in him? Or is it in the wealth of this world? Then another passage as well, just that where Jesus speaks a parable within this, but Luke chapter 12, another few verses that go along with this. So a man comes up to Jesus. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." And Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" And then he said to them, to all the crowd, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And so Jesus is saying, watch out, be on guard, be careful with your possessions. You know, because man's life does not consist in the abundance of it. That is not who you are. That is ultimately not your, should not be your identity. And it's so easy, I think, in our world, it's so easy for our identity to be wrapped up in our possessions, in our things, in our stuff. And especially in our material culture, that is a danger that we need to be very much on guard against. So Jesus then goes on to tell this parable. He says, "The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, 'What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops.' Then he said, 'This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? And so that parable, it connects back with James a lot. Life is a mist, you know, and all boasting in wealth, all boasting in those treasures of this world, it's really evil, as James said in chapter 4. You know, life is a mist. It is here and it is gone. And so this man here, he was storing up treasures for himself for years to come, thinking that he had control of that, he'd be able to use it eventually. But then, you know, this man, his life was demanded of him that very evening. You know, his life was but a mist. And so it's that reminder of humbling ourselves before the Lord's will and living under his providence and sovereignty. And then the last verse there that Jesus says after that parable, this is how it will be with anyone who stores up his things for himself but is not rich toward God. And so coming back to that question, you know, what is in your heart? Is it you know, a desire for wealth? You know, wealth that is mine, it's my accomplishment, I can do what I want with it. Or is it instead being a humble servant and a steward of what God has generously given, and being in turn rich towards God, and generously in faith giving and using that wealth for his glory and honor? So really, when it comes to money, Jesus addressed it a lot because it is an issue of the heart and an issue of, you know, what is your faith in? And that's where James is looking at that same idea as well. So getting back to James, just let me turn there. The second thought here in this passage is, we're going to look at, is life is but a mist. You know, life is but a mist. You know, how have you lived? And what place has worldly wealth had in your life? And that's really the first few verses there in chapter 5. He's really addressing the rich and how they've lived and the things that they've done. He's attacking them, and he's very firmly pointing out to them the error of what they've done. So he's calling out the rich, and James is warning them of their trust in money and wealth. You know, that they will face the judge. They will face the Lord Almighty and be held accountable for their actions and how they have used their wealth and trusted in it more than God. So the question for us to consider as we all read this passage with its stark warning is, you know, how have you lived? And as James put it, you know, now listen, you rich people, how have you lived? How have you used your wealth? What does your wealth and your use of it reveal about your faith? Do your actions with your money and possessions testify to God and his love, honor, goodness, and generosity? Or does your use of wealth testify against you as you have used it for self-indulgence, pride, vanity, and the hoarding of wealth? And that's really what James says. Their wealth has testified, the way they've used their wealth has testifies against them, and they will face judgment for that. The other passage that Brett read this morning is from 1 Timothy, and it also sheds some more light on this passage as well. And it also has some other positive thoughts in there too, so I wanted to look at it briefly as well. But he in 1 Timothy, Paul speaks of just the dangers of being lured into the temptations of wealth. And it's interesting, in verses 3 through 5 of that passage, it starts about a lot of controversies and quarrels and fighting that were happening within the churches that Timothy was pastoring. And if you remember in James, there was a lot of quarrels and fighting. And right in the midst of that, then, is this discussion of wealth. And a lot of times that can end up happening, that people get lost in the wealth and they forget about pursuing godliness for the sake of pursuing God. Instead, they use godliness as a means towards financial gain. And so Timothy in his church was dealing with this struggle. James, in his letter he's writing, he's also dealing with that struggle as well. But verses 6 through 8 there, it has some important words just of encouragement for us. It says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. And that just reminds us of to be humble before God and to be content with what God has provided, and to not cherish perishable things, but instead to value the eternal. And it's encouraging because it reminds us that God is sovereign. You know, that though we chase after all these things and think that by them we can do something greater, we can accomplish a lot of great things, at the end of the day, they're but a mist, they're vanishing. But instead, we can trust in God, who truly is the owner of all things. He's the creator of all things. And we can encourage to have a deeper faith in him, knowing he will provide exactly what we need in this life. But then verse 9 through 10, it does show us the trap of pursuing worldly riches. You know, James, or 1 Timothy goes on to say, people who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. So here it does show that trap that is ever present for us, that is there. And if I just have more money, if I just have X amount of dollars, then I will be happy. You know, and also with wealth, it opens up the possibility to buy pleasure, to pursue entertainment, and on and on. There's a lot of dangerous traps and lures that come with wealth. Riches can bring with it the delusion of freedom, the delusion of power and sovereignty, which in the end plunges us into ruin and destruction. When we have that wealth, we think we're free to do what we want with it. We have power to do things, that we're kind of sovereign over our little domain, our little kingdom. And that can lead to ultimately plunging us into ruin and disaster as we get caught up in many things that take us away from God. And so the love of the money here is the issue. Your heart has chosen it as your God. It's not necessarily money itself that's wrong. It's, you know, money is something that's part of this world. But it's the love of it that's the issue. That has taken the place of God in your heart. And you put your faith in it for happiness and provision rather than God. And so it's a question of faith. Do you trust God in his eternal riches, or do you trust in the riches of this life? But verse 11 and 12, it does show us, and Paul shows us some ways to flee from that, and he gives us direction there. First of all, he says, flee. But you, man of God, flee from all this. And I think that's important, that we need to be running away from that. We need to be fleeing from that. Like Joseph, who ran from Potiphar's wife, we need to flee right away from those temptations. And it goes on to say, flee from all this and pursue, you know, so flee from that, but pursue, chase after these things. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith and take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. So chase after these things. Pursue that with all your heart. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. And it calls us to fight. I think it is a daily fight. You know, fighting that good faith, the good fight of faith. And especially in this realm of money, the temptations are there. It's a constant fight and a battle. You know, are we going to use it for our own self or for our own pleasure? Or are we truly dedicating what we've been given to God and using it as he instructs? And then it reminds us there to take hold of the eternal life. You know, don't put your hands on worldly treasures, but instead take hold of eternal life, what Christ has opened up for you. You know, those heavenly treasures where moth and rust do not destroy. And it reminds us again there, you know, take hold of the eternal life. It reminds us of our initial confession of faith. You know, kind of takes us back to that day, you know, when you rejected the things of this world, when you said, you know, I'm dead to those things and I'm alive in Christ. Go back to that day. Remember your great love for Christ and what he has provided. Trust in him. It kind of reminds us to remember that day of salvation, and to remember what all that we have gained in Christ. And all that we have gained in Christ is so much greater than anything that this world will offer. So getting back to the James passage, you know, thinking about that idea again, getting back to, you know, of course, we need to be aware of the sins that can come with wealth. We need to be aware of a lot of those things, and we need to pursue those other things. But some of the things we need to be aware of as we handle money, as it is a part of our lives, as we use wealth. Some of the things that James points to there, one is coveting and hoarding. You know, it says, you have hoarded wealth in the last days. Of course, do not have an undue affection towards your possessions. They are ultimately just things. Do not make them idols. Instead, trust in God and his provision for the present and the future. Be willing to generously give up your things. You don't need to covet them. You don't need to hoard them. Remember, they are just a gift that has been given to you, and in turn, give them to others. Be generous and glorify God with what he has given you. Be a good steward of it. So that's one area we need to be aware of, is coveting and hoarding. Another area that James addresses is the rich were oppressing, they were abusing their power, and they were defrauding people. You know, so just really consider and ask yourself, am I fair in my use of money? Am I generous? If I'm paying someone or if I'm an employer, am I giving the just amount? Am I giving what is right and what is fair? You know, the rich in this passage that James is criticizing, they had been maybe holding back. They had not been giving workers what was due to them. You know, they were doing a lot of work and not getting much pay. It wasn't a fair amount that was given to them. And I think the rich here, they had forgotten that, you know, just as much as they need the poor, just as much as the poor need them. You know, the rich need workers. They need people to help them. They need people to be a part of their business, whatever it is. In the same way, those that are the workers, they also need income and they need provision. That it's part of this, they're all part of this collective group, this collective organization, and they need to care for one another. And the rich need to remember that they're caring for those families by providing provision. And so I think the rich here had forgotten that, and they in turn were oppressing and abusing those that were underneath them and not giving what was due. And it's a reminder, though, that the harvesters, it says, the cries of the harvesters reach out to God. That reminds me a lot when I hear that word, cries out to God. It reminds you of Egypt, when the Israelites were slaves there, how they obviously were abused, they were oppressed, they were not paid for what they were doing. But their cries reached God, and God acted, and God brought a tremendous judgment upon the Egyptians through that. And so it's this passage is a reminder, be careful and check our hearts and make sure that we are fair in our use of money, that we are just in what we're doing with the wealth that God has given us, that we would pay what is right and be above reproach. And then the other caution here as well is, beware luxury and self-indulgence. James 5:5 says, you have lived on earth in luxury and self-indulgence. You have fattened yourselves in the day of slaughter. You have condemned and murdered innocent men who are not opposing you. I think it's an easy thing when you have wealth. It's easy to live for luxury and the self as if you live for nothing else. It's very easy to take that wealth to live for yourself and for nothing else. And that's especially a temptation for us in our country. We need to be aware of that. It's a temptation for each of us. That we would use, it's so easy to use wealth for personal luxury and self-indulgence. And we need to be fighting the good fight against that temptation that we face. And that's what the world says. Live it up. You have it, use it for yourself. Such an attitude, it blocks God out, and it forgets about him and his provision, his sovereignty, and his eternal salvation that he's granted us. We're trusting in that luxury, that self-indulgence for our peace and happiness, rather than looking to God and what he has provided. And that truly is the danger of wealth. It leads us to forget about God and our desperate need for him. And it also leads us to forget about the needs of others. We become so focused on fattening up ourselves, rather than remembering the needs of the needy and the broken that are around us, and then acting on it and being generous towards them. So let us be very cautious and guard our heart against the love of money. And do not think that this passage doesn't apply to you. It's very easy to look past it, but I challenge you to consider it carefully. And James is always getting at us to consider the genuineness of our faith. And here it is no different. Is your faith in God, or is it in wealth? Is it in money? And ultimately, the fruit of your life will show it. And those whose faith is in money will look like the description James gives here. But those whose faith is in God will be humble and submit their wealth to God and his glory. They will pursue righteousness. They will pursue godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness, as Paul said in 1 Timothy. And they will generously use all God has given them for God's glory in the lives of others to bring them to Christ. Will you pray with me? Father, as we've looked at this passage, it is a challenging and convicting passage. Lord, we recognize that you have blessed us with so much. Lord, that all our possessions, all our wealth, all the riches that we have are truly from you. Lord, may our hearts not be drawn to those things. May we not wander off and be consumed by those things. Lord, I know I need to check my heart on that. That's something that is very easy to get caught up in, and just having all those things, having those possessions. And it's easy to forget about you and what you have done. So Lord, help me, help all of us here just to recognize what you've given us. And not only in worldly things, Lord, you give us worldly things and we can use those for your glory. We can use those to be witnesses for you. But Lord, those things pale in comparison to what you've given us through your Son. The eternal life we've been given, the forgiveness we've been given. Lord, you've done what is impossible in each of our hearts. In Scripture it talks about how it's hard for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. But what is impossible with man is possible with you. You have worked in our hearts. You have saved us. You have delivered us from the temptations of wealth. So Lord, may we continue to fully put our trust in you. And with what you've given us, may we use it to your glory. May it not have a hold on us. May we be generous. May we be kind. And Lord, may we take all that you've given us, and may we truly ask what your will is for what you've given us. Lord, may we always have that prayer in our hearts that we would take what you've given us and say, Lord, this is your stuff. May your will be done with it. May you direct and lead me how to use it. Thank you, Lord, and just convict us through this passage. Draw us closer to you and show us more and more how we can be generous and be giving just as you are. May we follow your example. In Christ's name, amen.